Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and I'm excited today to keep talking money. That's what I do. I wake up every morning, do my reading early morning. I read about money. I read about business. I read about getting ahead. That's what I've been doing for 35 years. And we're going to continue doing that each week, helping you win the money game. And today we're going to continue on from our last show. If you missed it, you can go to RoyMatlockJr.com and do the podcast and for last week's show. But I'm telling you right now, this is the fun part. You know, we've made the decision that we're going to get ahead financially. We got our financial independence number figured out. That's the amount of money we're going to need in order to quit. You know, I always talk about a 30 by 30 plan, 30 in, 30 out. You know, that's a good way to do it. You don't have to wait until you're 65 in order to get there. Go out and get it done, whatever you got to do. It may be the side hustle to help you make more money to where you can save the money. But the bottom line, get ahead. If you're young, get that 100 grand set aside as quickly as you can so you can get that growing for you. But here's what we're going to do today. We had in the prior show, and I bring this up because you probably do want to tune into that, and that we talked about retirement plans and what you do with retirement plans. Also about pay yourself first, the rule of 72, which is the magic of compound interest. I mean, that's the key to it all. And then we talked about bypassing the middleman, and I'm going to kind of start back with bypassing the middleman. You know, when we think about bypassing the middleman, everybody understands that. You know, if you can buy direct, you know, you can save money. That's one of the things that people always try to do, but we don't think about bypassing the middleman when it comes to our money. Without question, I read an article. I mean, there's over $17 trillion or something like that sitting in the bank that's basically you're not even keeping up with inflation. But people loan their money out to banks and insurance companies routinely. And the last thing that they ever think about is the rate of return. They're not getting anything. I mean, the banks are paying 1 or 2 or 3%, something like that. And then they loan it back out to us and, you know, credit cards and stuff like that. I mean, credit card debt's outrageous. I mean, you know, it's all, you know, you think about all the things that go on, student loans, everything like that. But the long and short of it is it would make more sense to bypass the middleman. How do you do that? You bypass it by, well, you would own stock in the bank. Now, I'm not recommending bank stock. I'm recommending that you have ownership in companies. And so when you start investing, there's really about on the stock market side, or we're going to say on the exchange side, there's usually about three things that the money goes into. They go into stocks, mean ownership. They go into bonds, means loaning money. All right. Or we go into cash, which is more of a hold it kind of thing. And so when we go into that, we buy mutual funds for our retirement plan. Those mutual funds are professional money managers, and they have objectives. Those objectives can go from, you know, the very most secure. Maybe it's in a money market account. You know, if you put it in there, it doesn't really get anything, but it's safe. Or you go into bonds, different types of bonds. A bond is a loan. So if you look at the bond market, you hear about that. That's where big companies borrow money. So borrowing money is not all bad. Most big companies borrow money, but they borrow it and they use it for investment. They don't borrow it in order to go out and, you know, pay for their vacation or, you know, the lunch that they are eating today you know, the cars and things that go down in bank. They go and buy it, borrow money in order to invest it and grow businesses. And so we have bond funds where those companies borrow money, or it could be a municipality. You know, if a municipality wants to borrow it, it's usually tax-free income called municipal bonds. The U.S. government borrows it, which is to fund the deficit, you know, which is not great, but that's called a government bond. We go from a government to a corporate. Then we go to a junk bond, or called a high yield bond. So if you ever see the name high yield fund, that's a fund that will invest in what's called junk bonds. Now, I hear people all the time, you know, junk bonds got a bad rap years ago, you know, in the years and years ago. But the Michael Milken and all that kind of thing. But the interesting thing about it, most of those bonds held out at the end of the day. But here's what happens. When we look at the bond market tends to be what we believe to be a little bit more conservative. It's debatable today when rates are as low as they are, if it's that conservative. But the bottom line is bonds tend to be, if you hold them to maturity, you get your money back and some interest. So let's talk about what a bond really does. A bond is usually it's $1,000. And so now a savings bond, you buy them at half price or whatever the number is, and then they mature. But the long and short of it is, or you buy them at a discount, the long and short of it is a bond is you take your money, you loan it out with the expectation you're going to get it back, and then they're going to pay you interest along the way, either yearly or at the end of the term of the bond. They have maturities on them. You could buy a 30-year bond, treasury bond, whatever. You can buy a 10-year bond. You can buy all these different ones, or you can buy a bond from someone on the market that maybe it was a 10-year bond that only has 5 years left on it. So that's called the length of the bond, okay? So what happens is these bonds are traded all the time, and they're traded on interest rates. So if you have a 5% bond and the new bond rates are 4, then your bond goes up in value for a little while, and there's all these different things like that. But you don't need to know that. Here's what you need to know is that bonds are a loan, and you can buy bond funds. If you buy a corporate high-yield corporate bond, that is considered junk if they call it high yield. All right. What that means is this is a company that's not maybe as strong as Exxon, which would be a corporate bond, but they're still a good company. And these bond fund managers go out and they say, wow, this company is really much stronger than their credit says, because maybe they had some problems in the past. We can buy these bonds at a discount. We think they're going to survive. So they go in and do that, and that's how they make money on bonds. Maybe they get a bigger interest rate on it, because just like if you don't pay your bills and you go to try to buy a car, they charge you more for it interest wise, and so on. So on the right, if we were going across a spectrum of investing, we would have on the more conservative side and the bond side, we'd have money market accounts. We would have bank accounts. Then we go to government bonds. We go to municipal bonds. We go to corporate bonds. And then we go to high-yield junk bonds. That would be from a conservative to more aggressive in the bond market. Then we have what's called a balance fund. A balance fund is going to have, just like it says, some stocks in it and some bonds. What are stocks? Stocks are a percentage of ownership. What that means is that when you go into a bond or a stock fund, you're going to end up having ownership in that. And so then we go into different types of stock funds, from very conservative all the way out to the aggressive funds. So with that being said, what we're going to do, we're going to come back and we're going to move into the different types of funds, and I'll include index funds, all those kind of things. I hope you're enjoying the show. My name is Roy Matlock. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're back. If you're just tuning in, we're going through the spectrum of investing. At the beginning of the first segment, what we did, we talked about, you know, what is a bond, and now we're going to go into what is a stock, and then we went into the different types of funds, and we'll talk more about what's the difference in a bond fund and a bond itself. And also, we're going to go into the different type of stock funds, and then we'll talk about some of the indexes and maybe even get into some of the ETFs. I don't know how much time we're going to have today to do all this stuff, because what I want to do is I want to take it slowly so you can really understand it. And then once you understand it, you're going to get this confidence about you that you can make it happen financially, that you don't have to worry all the time about where you're at. And so let's move on with what is a stock mutual fund. Well, a stock mutual fund is a typical mutual fund might have 200 or 300 different companies in it. Some of you right now have company stock, and I just want to let you know, I see this all the time. People have company stock, they have too much money in their company stock. Let me give you an example of what a mutual fund company does. They research before they invest. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how they research in just a second. But most of your mutual funds won't have more than maybe 3% of their money in any one company. And so what that means is after researching it, really researching it, they come back and they say, you know, I like this company. It's my biggest holding. I'll put 3 cents out of a dollar in it. That's called diversification. So one of the things that you get when you buy a fund compared to, say, an individual stock is diversification. And so that way you don't have all your money in one basket, right? All your eggs in one basket. And so what happens is you start looking, you say, well, that makes sense to me. I'm going to diversify myself into different types of stock market managed accounts. So I had an opportunity years ago, 25 years ago, to go to my first, it's actually probably longer than that, 25 years ago, we'll say, just to keep my age where it is, 25 years ago, I got invited to one of the largest mutual fund companies in existence, and I was able to sit in and listen to some of the mutual fund managers that actually invested the money. They made the decisions on where the money went. And so I was like, all right, what do these guys do? Are these guys really that smart? And after leaving there, I was like, yep, they're really that smart. And so it started out like this. They brought a guy in, and he was a pharmaceutical analyst. And so what he did is he studied drug companies. And he was a doctor. How about that? He was a medical doctor. So here's your medical doctor that decided, I'm not going to be a medical doctor. I'm going to go ahead and get my degree as a medical doctor. But then I'm going to go to business school, and I'm going to get my degree in business. I'm going to get my master's in business so I can understand and become a stock portfolio manager and an analyst. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be specific to pharmaceutical companies. I'm like, all right, that's pretty qualified. That guy, I'd say that guy's a pretty smart guy. So then what he told me, and he was saying in these meetings, he says, what we do is we go out and we personally visit all of these companies that we're going to invest in. So the first thing they do is they go visit a big pharmaceutical company, and they meet with the CEO and the CFO, and they go through all the balance sheet. They go through all that kind of stuff. And then he said, after we do that, we go talk to the employees to find out what's shaking. Do they have a good attitude? How do they feel about the company? What's the future like? Da, 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 da. And then after that, we go talk to research and development, see what they got going, those kind of things. They start digging into that, then they take that and they say, well, these drugs that they're doing, let's go talk to the doctors. So let's go to the doctors' conventions and we're going to go talk to the doctors and see what they're prescribing. And then we're going to go and talk to some of the patients to see how they're responding to the drug itself. Now that we've done that, we're going to take and send it up to D.C. to find out what's going on there as it relates to the healthcare industry, pharmaceutical industry, drugs, all that kind of stuff. Then we're going to put them into like A, B, C, D, and E sections, and then we're going to put some of our money into the ones that we think are better than the others. So they were telling the story, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then they talked about retail. They don't believe all the retail. They don't believe what the malls say. So they have people standing outside the mall counting people walking in and out of the malls to really see what Christmas sales and retail is going to be like. Do all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow. So you mean to tell me that there's no way I could outperform these guys long haul by me reading like a news article on the internet? I'm like, nope, I don't think you can. And so at that point, I made a decision that, you know what, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to make sure and get my money diversified, and I'm going to let the professionals pick where the money goes. That's what I'm going to do. And so with that, then we have people that say, well, you know, we'll just throw it in the index. The index is average 10%. We don't have to worry about it. We'll own a little bit of everything. And there's people that go down that path, and I'll talk more about that. But the long and short of it is that professional money managers, that's what they do. They manage money. They wake up every day. They look about the companies they feel that are going to do good in the future, and that's where they put their money, and they diversify it. So what does a mutual fund bring to the table? It brings to the table diversification. And it brings professional money management. So that's the first thing in understanding. Then we start looking, so what mutual fund should we buy? Well, we have a balanced fund. That could be one that has stocks and bonds. We have a growth and income fund or an equity and income fund. What is the income on a growth and income? Well, the income is dividends. All right. It could be on a balance fund. The income is considered interest that comes off of some of the bonds that are being held. But the long and short of it is it's a growth in income. It grows and it pays a dividend. It would be similar to buying a house, a rental property. And what you do is the house goes up in value and it pays, and the people pay rent. So you're getting some growth and some income. We can then go from there into what we call growth funds. Those are your Starbucks. Those are ones that don't have the income. They're putting money back in to growth of the company, that type of stuff. So they're really not dividend paying. And then lastly, we have international and we have aggressive growth. And so what I'm going to do right now is this. You know, I hear people all the time. They say, I love the show, but they keep telling me that they're worried. They're worried about their financial future, about retiring. They're worried about running out of money. They're fearful about the stock market, concerned about their 401k choices. They're wondering if they'll ever get out of debt. So I'm going to give you an answer. Here's how you can fix it once and for all and take that stress off the table. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com, download How Money Works, and then call us. We are here to help you. 615-843-2999. 615-843-2999. Call that number. It's a live person, 24 hours, will answer your call, and you can put an end to the worries. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are back. As today's show, we've been talking about the spectrum of investing, and you know, up to this point, we talked about a balance fund, we talked about a growth and income fund, we talked about what is a growth fund. Then we have international and global funds, and what they do is an international fund will invest outside of the United States. A global fund will include the United States. And then we have what we call aggressive growth or small company funds. And what they are is the Googles of tomorrow. They're the startup companies, and they're not really startup if they're listed, but they're the newer companies that one day hopefully will grow into what we call a large cap. So you've got your large, mid-size, and small, and international. You also have balance funds, which have stocks and bonds. We talk in terms of these type of funds. They're professionally managed funds. In the spectrum of what I'm talking about right now, they are professionally managed. And what does that mean? That means that they go in and they weight stocks based on what their research tells them to do. So they put more in one they like, less in one they don't like, or they may put zero in what they don't like. They can move from being all invested to a certain person. They maybe see the market going the wrong way. They can pull back and even go into cash. Now, when you buy mutual funds, you buy what's called an investment objective. And in the prospectus, which most people don't look at, but in the prospectus, it'll tell the investment objective. It'll tell how much they can put in international stocks, if they're a U.S. growth fund, whatever it may be. So all these little things add up to helping you get a diversified portfolio. What I like to do is I like to have people across different types of things. That way they get some, they're happy about something sometime. All right. I mean, and so what we do, that's called diversification. You want to diversify across the different types of companies. Small, medium, large, international, whatever it may be. You want to diversify across different industries, all right, from retail to technology to manufacturing and so on. And then what happens is one day you have a diversified portfolio. And when you have that, diversifying tends to be safer than putting all your money in, say, one stock. All right, you may get lucky. And if you get lucky, more power to you, because here's what I'm going to tell you about most people that get lucky. They tend to not realize they were lucky, and then they forget that they've got all their money in one stock, and that one stock is not going to always be good forever. So in many cases, I meet with people and I say, look, you know, look at the 52-week high and look at the 52-week low on this stock that you're doing great with. And ask yourself, right now, we're at market highs, say, would you be okay with the 52-week low in this thing? Or would you rather get yourself in a position to where you can be diversified? You take a lot of the downside off and you take some of the upside off. And so most mutual fund companies will not put more than 3-4% in any one company after doing all of the research. Now, what is the difference between a professionally managed mutual fund or, say, a index fund? So I'm going to give you some examples. So the S&P 500 is an index. It's called an unmanaged index. The idea behind it is if we go back in time over the last 80 plus years, the stock market as a whole has averaged about 10%. When it goes up, it makes 19% on average. When it goes down, it loses 12%. It makes money about 74% of the time. ballpark. And so what happens is you make money 3 out of 4 years. When you make money, you get 19%. If you lose money, you lose 12%. Overall deal is a 10% average over a long period of time. Why do I even worry about it? I'll just put my money in an index fund and forget about it. All right? So that's a thought. And I have people tell me that. I said, well, what's the reasoning for and against an index? Well, the good news about the index is when the market's going up, you're in it. The bad news about the index is when the market goes down, you're in it. So we got good news, bad news. The good news about an index fund is that it's very low cost because there's no management going on it. The good news about the index is that the beta is 1.0. That means the measure of risk is the index. The bad news is the beta is 1.0, and that means that when the market's down, it's going to go down accordingly. So what happens is when you make a decision whether or not you're going to buy a fund, all right, what I try to do is I try to look for investment accounts or mutual funds that their beta is less than the market, but their returns are equal to the market. How about that over a long period of time? So I've always told people, if you had a choice between taking a lot of risk to get a lot of return, or you take less risk to get a good return, which would you do? Or you might look at it this way. If I offered you $100 to walk across the interstate, and then I offer you another deal. I will offer you $1 million to walk across the interstate. But the $1 million is blindfolded, all right? But the $100 isn't. That's a risk-reward type thing. You say, well, am I willing to take the risk for $1 million? I might get killed in the process. So what I try to tell people is this. When you're meeting with someone, understand that volatility is not a good thing for investors. Most people, what they end up doing is they get scared, and then they don't buy at the right time, nor do they sell at the right time. What they do is they tend to buy it at the high, sell it at the low, and then they hate the market from then on out for the rest of their life, and they're scared of it. So one of the key elements when you're investing money, the most important thing I can tell any of you is this. You need to make sure that you understand risk and reward, and you understand what is your tolerance to that. That's the key to it. You got to understand your risk tolerance, because your risk tolerance is what keeps you in the market when the market is going the wrong direction, which happens 24% of the time. Now, one of the benefits of getting involved in, say, a professionally managed mutual fund is those guys tend to manage that downside as well. They think about that, whereas an index fund, they don't. Now, if you go into an index fund, there's nothing wrong with that, but chances are you need to be diversified among the indexes. Let me give you just a quick example. The S&P 500 has 30% of its revenue coming from overseas. So you get a little bit of diversification that way. The negative of it is it's going to always have the most amount of money in the fund or in the stock that has that's the biggest market cap. So it's going to be very tech heavy right now. So you're basically buying into an index that is putting the most money into the companies that are worth the most, that have appreciated the most. And so there's all these different things. But what we're going to do when we come back, we're going to get into more detail on how to do this, how to really go about getting it together when it comes to diversifying maybe your 401k, that kind of thing. And so I hope you're enjoying what I'm doing today. You know, I'm around town and people say, hey, I love your show. Keep doing it. You're doing great things. I love that you take it down to a level that I can understand it. But here's the key. You got to get started. If you don't get started, you can listen all day long. You can listen to every podcast there is. But procrastination is the number one deterrent to becoming wealthy. You've got to get started. So here's what you can do. If you want to call my office, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hook you up with one of our coaches. They will sit with you and they're going to do an analysis. We've got 35 years, 40,000 customers. We know what you're looking for. We know what you need. So what we're going to do is we're going to meet with you one-on-one. It is free. And we're going to give you a balance sheet to start, see where you're at, provide you a FIN number, and we're going to take you from worried to confident. We're going to implement things to get you on track to get debt-free and financial independent. Fix your finances once and for all, and you're going to know you're on track. So how do you do that? First thing you do is you pick the phone up, 615-843-2999. That's 615-843-2999. One more time, 615-843-2999. Or you can visit RoyMatlockJr.com and download some of our great educational tools, as well as listen to all the prior podcasts of every one of these shows. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. We're going to be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are back, and on the very last segment today, I hope you're enjoying the show. We've been talking about creating the offense to get your retirement plans funded, and then we've talked just in the last segment on the different types of investments that you can put your money into as it relates to your retirement plans. You know, the beauty part about mutual fund investing, I mean, I've been doing mutual funds for, you know, right after I got started, I got my first mutual fund, put it on a bank draft, and been doing that ever since. And, you know, I went from being broke to being, you know, done. And I did it that way by getting on a consistent plan to where all I did was make sure the money was in there. And then as I made more money, I upped the ante, put more money in, and never paid attention to what the market did. If the market's up, the market's down, I don't care. All I'm doing is just going to keep putting it in. And then over a long period of time, accumulate money. And that's what you need to be thinking about. You need to be thinking about, look, it's not so much what I do. It's if I do it. You know, I need to get started. Most importantly, just get started. Set up something. I don't care if it's 50 bucks a month, 100 bucks a month. You got to get started. That's the key. And here's what's going to happen. Your mentality will change. Your mindset will change. You'll say, look, hey, this is cool. I got some do-nothing money. Guys, you realize if you had $1,000 sitting in the market at the beginning of the year and it gets 10% that year, you made $100 on money. You didn't have to do anything to do that. You just had to get it in there. And so what I want to encourage you to do is today make a decision. Make a decision that you're going to get yourself on track and get started. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give you some not specific recommendations, because I want to make sure that when we do the show, you need to always realize there's always different circumstances for people. For instance, you know, if I meet with somebody that's 72 years old and they are retired, it's possible that some of their money should be invested for their 35-year-old son or daughter, because this is money they're never going to use. So we don't want to go in and say, well, let's be all conservative because of your age. Now, you've heard these rule of thumbs, you know, when you're, you know, 60 years old, you have this percentage in stock and this in bond and stuff like that. And overall, that there's a lot of truth to that. But the reality is your specific circumstances will determine things. Yeah, I've had people, you know, I'm very against taking money and, you know, being all hot and bothered over paying a house off, especially in a low interest rate environment when you can borrow money at some of the lowest rates we've ever seen. I'm not a big proponent of paying that house off because it just doesn't make a lot of sense. You can keep your money liquid. You can invest your money. You can fund retirement plans and generally get a better rate of return than what's happening through paying the mortgage down. However, occasionally, I'll talk to people and I can just tell, you know, that it's real important to them and they go ahead and pay that house off and then we take the money and do that. But is that the right answer? I don't think it's the right answer. I'm more of a guy that would not tell you to do that, you know, especially in low interest environment and stuff like that, you know. But you know what I'm saying to you is you have to get with somebody that you can talk to and coach you along the pros and cons of why you do that. One of the interesting things about that is we talk about, you know, people retiring and having their house paid off. In many cases, that's where they have all their money. And it just goes right back to saying, you know, they did pay themselves first on the house because they were required to make a mortgage payment. And because of that, part of it went to principal and things like that. But let me give you some examples. You're young. You're getting started. You've got a long ways out. You're in your 20s or 30s. Something like that. If it were me, I would be invested more aggressively. You know, I'm going to be in growth funds. I'm going to be, in aggressive growth funds. I'm going to be in things that, you know, and I'm not going to look at it. I don't care. Matter of fact, I hope the market goes down because I don't have any money anyway. And if I do have money, I'm going to be investing in the down markets. And I'm just going to believe in the fact that over a long period of time, what's going to happen is I'm going to end up doing well. And so when you're young, you're going to be more aggressive. If you're at or near retirement, or if you are at a point what I call being in the preservation stage, and here's kind of a rule of thumb I give. If you take the amount of money you have right now saved, and you look at, you, let's say you got 10 more years, and you've saved $500,000 so far, well, at 10%, that money will double in 7 years. We're going to say it got 7%. It would double in 10 years, rule of 72. So that $500,000 is going to be worth $1 million. In 10 years. And you start looking at the amount of money that you can save each month, and you determine that realistically speaking, that what's going to happen is no matter how hard I say, how much I save, I'm not going to save $1 million over the next 10 years. The most I'm going to be able to save is another $200,000, something like that. So the most important thing that you have in your world is what you have already. You've already accumulated that money. So I'm going to make sure, step number one, I'm not going to lose that money. I'm not going to get so aggressive with that money that, you know, 10 years from now that I've gone and done something stupid. And now, rather than having $500,000 that should conservatively grow if I don't get stupid with it, I've gone out and done something crazy and it didn't do that. So I put you in the preservation stage. Now, let's say that you're in a situation where you haven't done a really good job, or maybe you got 20 years out and you look at it and you say, I've got this much money set aside. The most important thing I've got going for me is my ability to earn money and save money, fund my 401k, do all that kind of thing. At that point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start thinking in terms of I'm going to be more aggressive with that. Now, what if you're that $500,000 person and maybe we take that lump sum and we're not quite as aggressive with it, but we're a little bit more aggressive on the monthlies? Then that way, if something goes down, we're getting to buy in on it. So what we do when we meet with people is we talk about those things. You know, how do you feel about market risk? How do you feel about the market going down? How did you feel about 2008? All right, and what happened during that time? And so what we do is we work with people to try, and that's what a financial advisor does, is they work on risk tolerance and take a look at where you should be. But the rule of thumb is this: as you get closer to retirement, you're going to get more conservative. A typical rule of thumb when you retire, you're going to be about 50, 60% stock, maybe 40% bond. Not always, but in most cases, you'll do that. That gives you the ability to offset some of the things that you have to deal with, and that is inflation. And so when you get near retirement, realize that if you're 60, 65 years old, and you're married, chances are one of you are going to make it to age 90, and that means everything that you're doing today is going to double in price based on what our typical inflation rate is. So what I try to do is I try to make sure that we fight against and we have something to make sure when we retire that, A, we don't run out of money. That has to do with managing the amount of money you withdraw. I give them a rule of thumb, 4 to 5% is kind of the rule of thumb on where we're going to go there. I then start looking at making sure we do have enough of the money that's not so conservative that we have the ability to offset inflation. So we got to have a growing income. So we don't want to run out of money and we want our income to grow. Those are two things right there. We don't want to put a lot of market risk into it. We want to tone down the market risk, but at the same time, not tone it down to such a degree that we don't end up having the ability to keep up with inflation. Then we start looking at taxation when we retire. Do we pull the money out and put it in, roll it over to maybe a Roth IRA so we don't have to pull it? We get tax-free income. It's possible. Do we do things in order to pull on certain accounts to keep from getting our Social Security taxed? There's all these different things. But when you're getting into retirement, it's a different game. When you're accumulating for retirement, you're looking to save taxes, cut taxes, deduct taxes, defer taxes, get tax-free, everything like that. That's what you're thinking. It's all about, you know, the taxation now. When you get at or near retirement, it's the opposite. Now we got to figure out how we're going to get it out. We were trying to get it in to the accounts. Now we got to get it out of the accounts. So what are some of the things that we got to always consider? Which accounts do we pull on first? How does it affect Social Security? And when do we draw Social Security? When do we start doing that? Is it better to wait? Is it better not to? My experience is I always tell people the full Social Security age, I never wait. I don't know when it's a good idea. I've tried to put the math together. I've got charts. I don't see when it makes sense to wait. But you have to get with somebody and do a Social Security analysis to make sure that you've got the right thing going on. I know this. There's things like your health that matters. There's all different types of things that you get into when you start pulling it out. But that's what I do. I do that for people. My team does that for people. We have people that are experienced financial coaches that do that kind of stuff. And so then we start looking and we say, well, we've gone out there, we've done that. What are things we have to look for, you know, when we're at or near retirement? We look at, do we want to downsize our house? Do we want to get a house that maybe do a reverse mortgage and stay in our house? You know, where we can have the house and not have to pay the payment on it, all right? What are we going to do to make sure that the money passes to the next generation correctly? Do we need a trust? We definitely need a financial power of attorney and a healthcare power of attorney. So we've got all these different things that we get into, but here's the key to it. You can get a plan. You know, what I remember about my dad, I mean, we talked all the time. He was a business guy, and he was a planner. And I'll never forget when he passed away. I went out to the graveyard, and they took me out. And they said, "I can't believe this. He bought these things like 50 years ago." All right, I mean, funeral plots. And I'm like, wow. I mean, they couldn't believe it that somebody did that. But he was always planning out, planning the future, planning things happening like that. And so if you want to get a plan, I can help you do that. My team has been doing this for 35 years. We have 40,000 customers. We know what you need. We know what you're looking for. And you're going to come into an educational environment where we will teach you what you need to do, and we will make the specific product recommendations to where you can get on the road to confidence. Call this number, 615-843-2999, and schedule a one-on-one free consultation, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999. Or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Stay tuned each and every week as we give more great financial advice. I'll talk to you later.